Okay. Going to begin with a problem, because we finished last time the problem of Chate, right? Chate Kedei Sheyizkeh Chaverecha. If someone says to his friend, I want you to sin, you commit a small sin in order to save your friend from a major transgression, and in terms of all the ramifications about Shabbat, so I gave you the major sources, right? Correct? And we saw there's a great spectrum of views, however, in general, that's not what we say. Unless the individual himself is responsible, right? Unless it's for a great mitzvah. But in general, that's not what we do. I want to go to a very practical problem. And the solution worked out not quite the way I had thought it would work out, as often happens in life. So I want to first deal with the issue and give you the sources for the issue and give you a glimpse into Psak. I thought initially that I would do this only with the Smicha Shir, but since we're dealing with Hilchot Shabbat, we'll do this in terms of Hilchot Shabbat. By the way, just I had the question, in terms of Shavuot, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll come as usual on 7 o'clock Shavuot afternoon. Right? I think that's... Right? That's the usual. Right? That's usually... That's how it was last year anyway. I don't know what the usual is, but that's how it was last year. So I'm going to be in Neve Shmuel in the late afternoon at 5:30, so from Neve Shmuel I'll come here. So I'll probably be a little bit earlier than 7 o'clock. And I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but certainly it'll be Shavuot. We'll talk about you. Be'ezrat Hashem. I'll begin the first time that I received a question like this, and then we'll start dealing with, and I'll talk about the second time that it came up again, and then we'll go through the halachic sources. The issue is as follows. There was a period many years ago, and I think Yeshiva University is trying to reestablish that period again, when the fundamental philosophy of Yeshiva University was to conquer congregations. And even congregations that did not have mechitzot between the men and the women, they wanted very much to take over the congregations and to try to get the congregations to come back to Orthodox. So they had seminars for synagogues and synagogue leadership. And I was a very, very young rabbi just starting out, and I was one of the teachers that they used for the seminars. Actually, I was still a student, I think. At this point, I was still a student. I was a speaker student. One of the congregations they tried very hard, is anybody here from Illinois? So Creed Corps, Illinois. Anyway. I hadn't heard of it either. But there was a synagogue in formation in Creve Coeur, Illinois. It was, and probably still is, an exceedingly wealthy suburb. And they had very, very large estates. I imagine like East Hampton, West Hampton, if you know that area, Long Island, they had very, very large estates. And they were forming a synagogue. And initially they wanted to form a conservative synagogue. They had come to a number of the seminars, the major Balabatim, and then just about all, I mean, you're talking maybe about 30 families that were interested in doing this. And they had decided to build their synagogue with a mechitza, which was a great victory. What was the problem, however? The closest family to the synagogue was about 3 miles away. The synagogue was fairly equidistant. They picked a fairly equidistant place where there was a large empty lot. But the closest family to the synagogue was 3 miles away. So what could they do? And they came to me with a problem. On the basis of many of the issues here that we're going to be learning today, I had an idea. And the idea I had was to run a Shabbos. In other words, to have a bus on which is written all around Zachorot Yom Shabbat. And the bus has an African American with a black hat, like a chauffeur's cap, that says on top Shabbos Goy, and on his shirt Shabbos Goy, and there would be regular stops, and the stops would go regularly every Shabbos to and from shul. And people would get on the regular stops and they would go on the bus. And they would go home. And it would be in effect like a horizontal elevator. Now at this time there was everything was just starting with people who were living in at high floors. I don't even know if it was just starting. For me, it was just starting. I mean, I was a kid from Brooklyn who didn't know from, the only elevators that we had were creaky and, but the West Side was, the East Side of Manhattan were like, what we used to say in Yiddish, the Hecha Fenster, the high windows, was wealthy areas. And people lived in penthouses, and there were Orthodox Jews who lived in penthouses. So there were many heterim, based upon what you're going to see here, for going in the elevator. The elevator operator was not Jewish, the elevator operator knew that where you were going, you didn't even have to tell him where you were going, he knew your floor. And to this day, that's the case. Rabbi Lamb, who was then the president of Yeshiva University, lived in such a house and went up the elevator. And the Jewish Center, still to this day, which is 131 West 86th Street, on the 10th floor has its outreach minion, its beginner's minion, outreach minion. There's an elevator operator that brings everybody up to the 10th floor. And even I had understood that Rav Soloveitchik was asked about it, that he permitted it. I checked this out with Rabbi J.J. Schachter recently. And he said when he took the Jewish Center, he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik again, and it was permitted, Rabbi Soloveitchik. So I thought that I had conceived of the perfect solution. But obviously, before I suggested it, I went to my Rebbe. I'm going to soon give you the sources. I went to Rav Soloveitchik. I went to the Rav. And I laid this out before him. So he also laughed, but he told me not to do it. And he told me not to do it not so much for technical halachic reasons, because he said technically, halachically, believes it would be okay. However, this was around the time when the conservative movement had just come out with a heter to ride to shul on Shabbos. They still have, a law committee, and the law committee had dealt with the question of driving to shul on Shabbos, and the majority opinion was, I believe it was the majority opinion, that, and the rules of the movement is that if it's a majority or a minority, you could follow either, but I think this was a majority opinion, that just to ride on Shabbat would be okay. If you don't use the car for anything else, just to go to the synagogue, it's okay. So Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that, yes, Chaim.
I just believe that it was only for people who were just starting to observe. And the rabbi could give a heter.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't looked at the response for a very long time. What I'm not sure of if it was a majority or minority opinion, but it became accepted by just about every conservative synagogue. I don't think they made a distinction between the level of the congregant, as long as it was just to the synagogue. Obviously, I think, you know, it can't last like that. It can't work. It didn't work. But that was the decision. So therefore, on that basis, Rav Soloveitchik said to me, this could be confused with that, and therefore I don't suggest it, and certainly don't do it. Okay, so it went on the shelf. I had written up a whole thing about it with the halachic sources, but it went on the shelf. Then I got a question 2 years ago from Rabbi Mark Schneier, who has a synagogue in West Hampton. And he did an amazing thing, actually. I mean, it was I remember I had a vice president of my shul, Lincoln Square, who had an estate in West Hampton, and I used to go up there usually for at least one Shabbat during the year, during the summer. And we made a minyan because there was no shul. And there seemed to be absolutely no one interested in a shul. There was a country club, no Jews were allowed. I think that still may be the case, although I'm not sure. He came into the area, the Rabbi Schneier, and he brought, I think Dudu Fischer is the chazan now, he brought the kind of very popular chazanim and an attractive kind of service with a mechitza and with a bima in the middle. And he must get 700 or 800 people to shul every Shabbat, the overwhelming majority of them who ride. And he posed this question to me. Is there any solution that one can do? He had heard that I once had this idea of a Shabbos. The end story is, I'm going to start with the end. The end story is, the way I formulated the response and what I wanted from him to do, he was not able to do. And therefore, it's not happening. What I'm going to do now with you is to go over the sources and what I asked him to do, and under which conditions I think it could be permissible, but not as a Shabbos to be done by the Jewish community. We'll go over the sources and you'll see. Through going over the sources, there'll be many other issues that I think will become clear in terms of Shabbat. Many things that... Okay. Aleph. Right? You have it? I think the first page that you have is... I don't think... The first place, maybe I will as you will say, see, the issues that have to be dealt with in terms of this are, maybe, you see the list, the seven things in the bottom. The first, Amira Lagoy B'Shabbat Mitzorach Mitzvah. That's the basic issue. Can you ask a Gentile to do something for you on Shabbat, which is for the sake of a mitzvah? The second thing is Nesia B'Rakevet Metro B'Shabbat, traveling on a train or a bus on Shabbat. Ha'im mutara davar kasher hanahag hu goy. Is that permissible if the driver is a Gentile? The third issue, aliyah b'malit b'Shabbat kasher hi mufelet al yedei goy. The analogy to an elevator. The fourth, the siya b'autobus b'Shabbat al yedei nahag goy. Get into a bus. Fifth, ha'im matirim isur kal b'chtei lahatzil ha'isur chamur. Ta'at ha'kedat Yitzchak. And v'chi omrim lo la'adam chatei k'dei she'yizkeh chaverecha, which are the things that we had discussed last year, and therefore this touches on that. Maybe I'll begin with the answer that I gave him. Before we go through all of the sugyot, and you understand why he couldn't do it. I told him, after everything is said and done, I do not believe that the synagogue should do it. Because if the synagogue creates such a Shabbos, it could cloud the distinction. And the majority of people, certainly the people he's dealing with, are not sophisticated people, and they wouldn't understand that the shul can run a Shabbos and they can't get into their house. What I did suggest is that if the municipality of West Hampton would run such a service, a bus service, a shuttle bus, that would work not only on Shabbat, but Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, weekends. In West Hampton, a lot of people come up to go to the beaches, to do whatever they do. It's family time, and there are a lot of older citizens now of West Hampton that cannot drive anymore. And they have people who come to visit them. So if the municipality of West Hampton would run such a shuttle bus service, and it would be run by them. Donations for doing this could come from Jewish people. That's okay, but the owners of the program, and it should work Friday, Shabbat, Sunday with regular stops, going to the beach and going to the library. There's a museum in West Hampton, and going to the shul. And people got on this bus that was run by the municipality of West Hampton for Christians and for Jews over the weekend, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, then I think it would be permissible for his people to go on that. Because then the Jewish community is not doing it. They're not. Yes.
The concern is they're not going to understand the distinction between riding on a bus or driving. Why does it necessarily matter if the shul does it or...
Well, perhaps you're right. I think it does make a difference. So I think it does. I think if the Jewish community is doing it, I think it's a different thing. I think yes. I really think yes. Because, you know, you could argue that the same thing is true of the elevator and, you know, in the door or so. I think yes. But at any rate, it didn't work out because he couldn't get the municipality to do it. And I wouldn't allow it any other way. So it didn't work out. Yes?
Is
What's the difference between this idea and just using the subway if you find a way around the question?
Okay, so we'll see. We'll see all of this with the tshuvot. Okay. That the basis for what I'm saying is that there were great poskim who allowed a subway under those conditions. And we'll see Rav Moshe Feinstein in Russia. That was, you know. Now the difference, the difficulty with the subway, of course, is that you need usually to pay something, you need to get a ticket, which is mukta. But let's assume you wouldn't need that. Which would be the case. And it was advertised that you don't need it. It's free, so there's no question of maritime. You know, free shuttle bus service. Municipality of West End. Which is what I wanted to be written on the bus, on the shuttle bus. But it didn't work out. Obviously, apparently it's not going to work out. So it's all theoretical. But nevertheless, the sources are very interesting. And the issue has many, many ramifications, as you will soon see. So let's start from the beginning. The basic Gemara, Aleph, Amira Lagoy B'Shabbat Tzorach Mitzvah, which is the first issue that we have to take up. And this is clearly a Shabbat issue. However, the mother sugya is in Masechet Gittin Daf Chet Amud Bet, and it's interesting. It's the Gemara and it's the Tosfot on the Gemara in Gittin Daf Chet. Who would like to read? Don't everybody shout out at once? Mark, okay, go on. Parvarei Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Gittin, which comes into this question, is dealing with the halachic status of Surya. It's very interesting because we're also talking. We're talking about it, but we're talking about the Golan Heights. And is the Golan Heights part of Israel or not part? The answer is that it's part of Israel. Of course, you'll say, well, that's the question, but nevertheless, the Gemara in Gittin sees it as being a question. David HaMelech conquered Syria. There's a question within the Gemara if it is, but the Gemara concludes that acquiring land in Syria is like acquiring land in Parvarei Yerushalayim, in the precincts of Jerusalem. I guess Efrat could be considered Parvarei Yerushalayim. And it's certainly part of Eretz Yisrael. About that, I'm sure nobody has any question whatsoever. So, go on. L'mai hilchata?
L'mai hilchata? Amar Rav Shesh, Mama, Shukot Ben Alav, Ono, Vafiru B'Shabbat.
Yeah. What's the halachic issue at stake here? The halachic issue at stake is, Rav Shesh, it says, are you allowed to write out a contract to buy land there even on Shabbat? The assumption being that for mainland Eretz Yisrael, if something is clearly part of Eretz Yisrael, you are allowed to write a contract to acquire that land even on Shabbat. No. Shakotvin alav ono, that you write upon it, that Jews, can write upon it a contract, even on Shabbat, in order to purchase that land. Asks the Gemara, go on, Mark, asks the Gemara. B'Shabbat sal kedaita. Would anyone imagine that on Shabbat you could write out a contract? Writing on Shabbat is one of the Lamitet Yisurei Malacha. You can actually write a contract on Shabbat. The Gemara answers, go on. Tidyomai Rava. You yourself can't write, obviously, but Vose. You can say to a goy to do it, And he can do it. You could do it through Amira La'akum. Hochinami. So here too, even if it's land in Syria, since it's considered mainland Israel by the Gemara, go on, Omer. Correct. Aye, there's still a problem. Yeah, what's the problem? Afal gav damira lo ben kokovim shvut. Whoa, what's the question? It's an isha drabonan. Shvut, actually, maybe it should be shvot. Shvot is like the command, rest from Tishbot. And the Ramban learns that all of this out from Tishbot, the mitzvah taseh. But at any rate, in usual halachic parlance, it's called Shvot, or Shvus, and it's an Isud Rabbanon to tell a goy to do something for you which you are not allowed to do yourself. On Shabbat, this is very important. The whole notion of Shabbat goy is usually misunderstood. The only thing that a Gentile is allowed to do for you, meikar hadin, essentially, is something that you could do yourself. There are some Rishonim, I believe it's the Rashbo, who says it's min haTorah, because in Shemot, the Pashat for Etchanan, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat leKadsho, Leman Yanuach Avdecha VaAmatecha Kamocha, in order that your Gentile servant, male servant, and female servant shall rest like you on Shabbat. Shabbat is a day of universal rest because God created all of humanity on Shabbat, on Friday, on Sheshet Yemei Amas. So that Meikar Hadin, a Gentile cannot do for you what you cannot do for yourself. There are certain, they made certain exceptions to the rule. There's actually a whole sefer on Goy, the Shabbat, by Yaakov Katz, an important book. Yaakov Katz was actually a sociologist, historian. But he knew halacha well, and the book is an important book. He discusses it in great detail, in historical detail. But for example, one of the things that Chazal allowed was, in Europe and early America, you can ask a guy to put on the stove for you on Shabbat. Because if the house put on the heat. Because if it was very, very cold, people would get tuberculosis, and it was a killer disease at that time. So there were things, but other than that, other than those kind of extreme things, wasn't allowed. So using a goy on Shabbat to do anything is not permissible. It has to be something that you would ordinarily be able to do also. Except, we'll see now, one of the exceptions we're soon going to come to. So, the afal gav damira loved kochavim shvut. Go on, the Gemara says. So you aren't allowed to tell a guy to write, you shouldn't be allowed to tell a guy to write the contract on Shabbat, because if you can't write the contract on Shabbat, he cannot write the contract on Shabbat for you. Nevertheless, go on, mishum. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, O Gozer Rabbanu. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is so important. There was no decree of Amir Lach. Okay? Tosfot. Yes.
Category.
Correct. Continue. Just there. Exact. Two. This is the Tosfot at the source. Tosfot at the source. Go on. Tavchet Amubet and get it. Tosfot right there. Go on. One second, yeah. The Afal Gav, the Divrei Amatriel, the Afal Gav da Mira lo Obed Kochavim Shvuot, Tosvo, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael lo Gazru Rabbana. Go on. Aval? Lo Hayinu Matirin. Bimlacha Dioraita. In other words, in a Malacha Dioraita, we wouldn't have given the Gentile the right to do it ordinarily. If it were any other mitzvah other than Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's a very, very famous Gemara that says that the Rabbanim, when they passed by Har HaBayit that had been destroyed, they did Kriya and they wept. Because they said that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is equal to all of the mitzvot in the Torah. Okay. So mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is in a special category. Umiyu, go on. Habahag, the Baal Halachot Gedolo, the period of the Gaonim. It seems from his words, yes. The Tzorech Mila. Another mitzvah, the Bahad included having a guy do something for you on Shabbos, even an Isur Dioraita, for example, to heat up water for the baby. The Tzorech Brit Mila. Now, can you think of a reason why Mila may also be an exception to the rule? Because the mitzvah of Mila itself also overrides Shabbat. V'yom hashmini imo b'sar arlato, I think that's the pasuk. In Tazria, that on the eighth day you must do the circumcision, and Chazal learned the eighth day afilu b'Shabbat, even if the eighth day comes out on Shabbat. So, since Mila itself overrides Shabbat, perhaps Mila is also an exception, just like Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is an exception. Because it's equal to all the other mitzvot of the Torah. Now, can you think of a reason why it should be equal to all of the other mitzvot of the Torah? That's pretty strong language. I mean, this is a Zionist yeshiva, but still, we have to understand. Yes.
She told the Ramban that any mitzvot that are outside of Eretz Israel is under practice.
Yeah, good. The Shita of the Ramban. Before I get to the Shita of the Ramban, I'll tell you, there was a famous machloket between the Katzka and the Vurka Rebbes. They were talking about two mitzvot. The mitzvah of Arbat Haminim and the mitzvah of Sukkah. So the Vurka Rebbe said he loves the mitzvah of Etrog because it's, you know, Hebrew. Eitz Pri Hadar. So he loves it. It's a beautiful fruit, and it smells so fragrantly. He loves the mitzvah of Pri Eitz Hadar, of Etrog, the four meaning. And the Katzke Rebbe said, no, he thinks the mitzvah of Sukkah is much greater. Why? Because with the Arbat Haminim, when you're holding the Arbat Haminim, you're holding Kedusha. You put them down, there's no more Kedusha. Whereas in the mitzvah of Sukkah, the sukkah holds you. The kedusha holds you. The sukkah encompasses you. You're encompassed by kedusha. On that, I heard it said, name the Avni Nezer said, but the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is great. Because you can walk out of the sukkah, you can't walk out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, you can, probably. Now it's, you know, very easy. I mean, as I can testify, it's too easy. You can even fly out of Eretz Yisrael. That's just to walk out of it. But you're not supposed to. Unless it's for a very good reason. I hope I do it for a good reason. But in general, it's the case. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, you are encompassed by the mitzvah. And the mitzvah, as we see, especially during the Shemitah year, is even in the very earth of Eretz Yisrael. So I could see whereby the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael can be very, very, very special. From that perspective. And the second thing is what Leo said, that according to the Ramban really has a strong shita. It's a shita yachid, but the Ramban is the Ramban. That all the mitzvot outside of Eretz Yisrael are only for practice for when you get into Eretz Yisrael. But the real kiyum mitzvah dioraita is dafka in Eretz Yisrael. As I said, most Rishonim don't hold that. But nevertheless, that's the view of the Rambam. Okay, so mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is special, and perhaps, as Tosfot quotes the Bahag, Mila is also very special, as you correctly stated, because the mitzvah of Mila, it itself is Doche Shabbat. But Balei HaTosfot, the general view in Balei HaTosfot is it's only mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Baal HaItur. Who would like to read the Sefer HaItur, the Baal HaItur, Hilchot Mila Daf Mem Tet Amud Aleph? Who would like to read? Go on, Bevakasha. Wait. I'm on 3 Sefer Ha'itur Shar Shlishi. Right? The Amira Le'eno Yehudi, right? Right. First of all, the Baal HaItur is explaining why is asking a goy to do the prohibition only in Isur Drabanan. Maybe it's an Issa Dioraita. Because if I ask somebody to do something for me and it affects I'm making him my agent, Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoto, an agent of the individual is like the individual himself. He's serving as an extension of me. Technically, a guy can't be an agent. But if I'm asking him to do it for me, and he's doing it for me, certainly if he's under my employ, he's like an extension of my hand. So why is it only a drabona? Maybe it should be a dioraita. So he says, go on, damira la'eno yehudi shvut, it's an isu drabonon. Why? Galet ba ma'asehi. I'm not doing the action myself. As long as I'm not doing the action myself, I cannot be held culpable min ha-Torah. Okay? And then he goes on to say, so therefore it's the Rabbana. Yeah, Vahiyah. Therefore it's the Rabbana. Go on. Demishum de lo yidchu mitzvah. He says, Who I did? It's the same halacha. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't make the difference. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in this particular case of the Gemara in Gittin, is a mitzvah d'oraita that they were dealing with. But it applies to every mitzvah d'oraita. Hu adin kol midei de mitzvah of dinan al yidei eino yehud. Any mitzvah that has to be done, you can do through a goy on Shabbat. If it's for the sake of a mitzvah, in other words, what the Baal HaYitur says is, a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. There are others. Shabbat is also a mitzvah. So if it's for the sake of a mitzvah on Shabbat, I can ask a goy to do it for me. Just like I could ask him to do purchase of land in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the fact that Amira La'akum, the rabbinic prohibition regarding Amira La'akum, is waived for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Baal HaYitur says it's not like what Tosfot says, that it's only for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but it's for any mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the prototype of the mitzvah. That happened to be the mitzvah that the Gemara was dealing with when he did it. But it applies to every mitzvah. Dimishum.
The lo
yidchu mitzvah. We don't push aside a mitzvah. It does not. The mitzvah of the Easter of Amir Alakum does not push aside the ability to accomplish a mitzvah.
Can we extend this to the comfort zone of a light singer
position? Well, wait, give me a few minutes. You're going to see. Everybody is going to get into the act. And we're dealing with a lot of Rishonim and a lot of important Rishonim. Now look at number four. Go on, continue. Before the Rid, Rabbi Yishayahu Detran, the Rid. Go on. Shelo to Tshuvot Harid number four. Simon Memhei, the Brei Abatchil, the Amir Legoy. Go on. Yeah. Go now. Now read. Just the things that I put in dark ink. Alma.
Alma, the Malacha Gemura, Lo Nesra Amira Elam Derabana.
Yeah. In other words, he says, you can even have a guy, he quotes the Gemara in Gittin, that's what he did, to the Muchach, the Ferish Perakamad in Gittin. The Amira, I'm reading what I told you not to read, I'm sorry. The Amira Lugoy Shvut, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Lo Gozru Bo Rabbanan. Alma b'malacha gemura, even in the case of a malacha gemura, in other words, of asking a guy to write for you on Shabbat, and writing is considered a malacha d'oraita, lo nesra amira ela midrabanan. And therefore you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. Okay. Look at the Rambam, because otherwise I'm not going to finish. And I want you to get down the fundamental shitot. Look at the Rambam Hilchot Shabbat Perik Vav. The Rambam is going to be very interesting. Okay? Who would like to read? Anybody else volunteering? Bevakasha. Yeah, Rambam. Hilchot Shabbat Perik Vav. Right. Even though the Gentile doesn't have to keep Shabbat, nevertheless, we can't ask him to do a malacha for us on Shabbat. Go on. Right, all of this is nonsense. You have to tell him before. So what if you tell him before? If he's doing it for you, he's doing it for you. What's the difference? Go on. Right. Go on. Right, if they ask the guy to do it for them, you're liable to come to ask him to do it by yourself. You will become inured to the severity of Shabbat. You'll take the malacha lightly. If you could do it, al yidei goy, you're liable to do it by yourself, if the guy isn't around. Halacha tet. Go on.
Davar she'eno melacha ve'en asur la'asoto b'shabbat ele mishum shvut mutar le'Yisrael lomar le'goy la'asoto b'shabbat.
Now, davar she'eno melacha, but if it's something which is not asur min ha'Torah to do, it's not one of the lamitet avot melacha. Ve'ein asur la'asoto b'shabbat. There's no isur dioraita to do it on Shabbat. Go on. Ela mishum shvut. In other words, if it's only an isur derabanan to do it on Shabbat, then go on. Then you could ask the goy to do it for you on Shabbat. But there has to be someone who's sick involved, not pikuach nefesh sick, because then everybody is allowed to do it. But if it's a question of that, that's like I said to you before, you could tell the guy to put on the heat on Shabbat, because if it was very cold, I don't think that's true today, I don't think it gets that cold today, but if you were in a climate where it was true and it could lead to pneumonia or lead to a kind of illness, there's an old person in the house and it could lead to an illness that could take his life, as was the case of tuberculosis in the olden days, then you could tell the guy, oh, oh, mipnei mitzvah, if it's something which is extremely important, or it's for the sake of a mitzvah. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam doesn't quite go along. What would the Rambam say? What would the Rambam say? How would he interpret the Gemara in Gittin? Mishum Eretz Yisrael. Like Tosfot, exactly. The Rambam would fundamentally say that Mishum Eretz Yisrael Shaini, yeah, the only time you could ask a guy to do an Isur Dioraita for you on Shabbat is because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. An Isur Drabanan, you could ask the guy to do. And he paskins that way. If look at Halacha Yud, read Halacha Yud quickly, go on, Ketzad. To go up a tree to bring something down for you, even though you aren't allowed to climb a tree on Shabbat, but that's an Isur Drabanan, because you might take off a fruit, or you might take off a branch, but it's not an Isur Dioraita. L'hishtamesh bi'ilan is the language in the Gemara. Go on. Oh, k'dei la'avi lo shofar, to go swimming, which is an Isur, again, Drabanan, not an Isur Dioraita. Go on. Right, you're talking about not to carry a knife for the milah, to bring a knife for a brit milah, which is not reshut harabim dioraita, which would be an isur drabanan. Yeah? Right, again, it's for the need of the katan, but it's not an isur dioraita. Go on. In other words, you could ask the guy to do an Isur Drabanan, not an Isur Dioraita. And he goes on, Halacha Yud Aleph, go on. Okay. He does quote our Gemara in Gittin, but only for the sake of buying a house in Eretz Israel. Or mitzvah sha'amira l'goy b'shabbat. Okay. V'chein, go on. So you see, the Rambam does quote the Gemara, but the Rambam, interestingly enough, interprets the Gemara in terms of Balei HaTosfot, specifically for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now, Gary, the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch or Rachaim. Gary, go on. You had Shulchan Aruch number 6, the Ramar of Moshe Isavis. So there's a machloket to Rishonim. You see very clearly. There's a machloket to Rishonim. When can you ask a guy to do something for you on Shabbos? If it's an Issa Dioraita, is it only for mitzvah? There's one group says only mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You can do it, otherwise no. The Bahag says, the Baal Halachot Gedolot says, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael plus milah, but otherwise not. The Rid and others hold that even for an Issa Dioraita, any mitzvah Dioraita, Baal Ha'itur, any mitzvah Dioraita, the Baal Ha'itur, the Rid. The Rambam says only an Issa Drabanan for a mitzvah, with the single exception of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How does the Rabbah Paskin go on? Yeshomrim,
the Mutalamar La Inna Yudi, Hadlik Lo Ner Lasudat Shabbat, Mishum the Spirale, the Mutar Amir La Inna Yudi, Afilu Velacha Gemura, the Makom Mitzvah.
He quotes the Baal Ha'itur. He actually quotes the Ran also. I mean, there are other Rishonim who go according to the Baal Ha'itur. We saw the Rid, the Ran too, who hold that it's for any mitzvah. And it's interesting, you can tell a guy even to put on the light for you so that you could see the Seudah, because Onik Shabbat is that you should eat the Seudat Shabbat, the Seudot of Shabbat, within the pleasant atmosphere of a light. Yeshomrim the mutal lomar leino yehudi lahadlik lo ner lesudat shabbat mishum de sfira leino de mutar amira leino yehudi afilu bimlacha gemura b'makom mitzvah. Go on.
She'al pizeh nahagu rabim lakel b'davar letzavot leino yehudi lahadlik neirot tzorech tzudah.
Right. Now, it's very interesting, but fundamentally, because here he's talking about something which is not even, it's a part of a mitzvah. One might say, to have light, maybe it's even more romantic to eat in the dark. It's not as if you wouldn't be able to eat it all. But clearly there are more paskins that for a mitzvah you're allowed to tell the guy to do even an Isur Dioraita. Go on. V'yesh?
V'yesh l'hachmir v'makom she'ein tzorech gadol. D'ha rova poskim chokim al svar hazeh.
Okay. So okay. Rova, the Rambam, Misua, didn't hold from. So it's something which should be a tzorech gadol. But if it's a tzorech gadol, he says, for sure you're allowed to do it. I'll give you just one coming attraction. We're going to have to stop here, but I'll give you just one coming attraction. We'll see a number of important poskim. There's a very, very fascinating tshuva that Chacham Ovadi Yosef gave to the Jews in Egypt. And but it's shayach here also. It could be shayach here too. They used to have a minig to this day in most Sephardi shuls. Before Kriyat HaTorah, they sell the aliyot. In Efrat, even on Rosh Hashanah, the first year in Rosh Hashanah, I davened in the Sephardi shul, and I still go Rosh Hashanah Shachrit to the Sephardi shul. They sell the aliyot. they sell the aliyot, people pledge so much and so much for Kohen, so much and so much for Levi, so much and so much for Shlishi. So the shaila was asked, can we have a goy sit in the room next to the shul, and he hears the people making the pledge, and he makes a record, he writes down the pledges, so that after Shabbos, they used to do this every Shabbos, so that after Shabbos, they'll bill the guys. And there'll be a clear record, so nobody will be over on not paying his pledge. So it's a miralakum l'dvar mitzvah. And Racham Obadiah says, it's okay, based upon this. Based upon the Rishonim who say, Amir Lakum Litvar Mitzvah, it is a mitzvah. First of all, everybody coming into the shul is a mitzvah. Second of all, that Tzedakah is a mitzvah. And second of all, nobody should renege on his pledge. It's good to have a record of it. So you can see how far reaching the halacha can go. It's a machloket or Rishonim, but if you're paskin like those Rishonim, who say Amir Lakum the Bar Mitzvah is Puter and Yeshua Eretz Yisrael is only an example. We will continue. Next time we'll see the Mishpatei Uziel. So you have extra stuff. Keep them. Go over the Mishpatei Uziel. And we will continue Bezrat Hashem. Next time.